All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you all again. Greetings to those who are traveling, those brothers around the world. Though we can't always be together, there's still that fellowship that's such a blessing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy, Lord. Lord, we just present ourselves to you, Father, Lord, that ask that your will be done with our lives, Father. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom as we open your word, Father. Help us have ears to hear it, Lord. Again, we just thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, give us wisdom and help us be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry. All right, let's open our Bibles. Hebrews. Chapter 11, verse 13. It's talking about the faith chapter. Those who had heard God's voice and applied themselves to the call that was put upon them. Faith is a response to God's claim on your life. That's what these people had heard God. They'd heard the voice of God and had responded to that. And God has that same call upon your life. He's speaking today. And He uses His Word. He uses His Spirit to guide us. And has a purpose for your life. It may not be some grand thing that you think of, but how much grander could anything be than just being in God's will and doing His way? You know, we read of people or hear of people doing great exploits, but the kingdom of God is going to be full of people and is full of people who are basically unnoticed in this life, but God sees them. You know, when we think of the world and all the accomplishments that men may perform and may do, sometimes you feel a little left out maybe, but how much more important is us doing our part right where we are in this world? Whether that's just being a father, faithfully training children, going to work every day, just doing what we can, just sometimes He's called us to something even besides that, that just seems humble, seems mean in this world, or seems cruel almost in this world, but He's working on our souls and our spirit. And that's what we need to focus on, because that's truly what we are. That's when we stand before God on the judgment day. It's not going to be about the big accomplishments, but it's going to show us the inner man, the gold and the silver and the precious jewels that each have or may have nothing to do with what anybody else can see, but they will be the things that God has been able to refine and do in our own souls and in our own hearts. And it's really just basically the simple things: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. You know, sometimes we seem like we get run over or get just pushed aside, but all that does is help refine those more precious gifts, more precious things that God would have for us. this reading in verse 13, it says, all these died in faith without receiving the promises. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. You know, we have this group of people, this body of believers, this group of saints that were looking for the redemption. You know, actually, you know, if we believe what Jesus said, that when people died, the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and he looked into Hades, and there was the rich man and Lazarus. One of them was tucked away in Abraham's bosom, but they were still not with God. They were still weren't with Jesus. They weren't in paradise. They were just tucked in a place of safety. And there was a deep ravine. And on the other side, Lazarus. Or on the other side, the rich man. He begged for just a drop of water. Because he was tormented. He was miserable. But yet, Lazarus was comforted in Abraham's bosom. You know, he was in a safe place. And a lot of times, we just think, you know, we think of all the splendors and all the things that we might really enjoy. But really, what's more comfortable than just being in a safe place? Just a nice, safe place. And that's where Lazarus found himself. But yet, he still wasn't with the Lord. That was all that hadn't happened yet. And that's what these people, they knew that when they died, they would just be ushered to a place, Abraham's bosom, just a place of safety. They didn't even have the completed promise of being able to go to be with the Lord. They just knew that there was a promise that they would be safe. They hadn't received it yet. It wasn't theirs. But they died in faith, it said. They died trusting and believing that these things would come about. These died in faith without receiving the promises. You know, we do a little bit of something, and boy, we expect to be paid right away. We expect to get some reward. They lived their whole lives. They died without receiving the promises. You know, that's just a picture of patience. Like I said, when we do something, we expect something right away. We want some reward. We want some satisfaction. These people lived their whole lives and went through all kinds of things, and still didn't receive the promise. That was going to be later. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, here these people knew that the world that they were living in was not their home. It was just some place that they were walking through and going through. A lot of times today people take this being a stranger and exile, they take it to an extreme, and they want to be as different from everybody in the world just so that they can make a distinction, that they stand out in the world. But that's not what these people did. They obeyed God. They lived right in the middle of the world. They worked with the world. They talked with the world. They had to do business with the world. They were right in the middle of it. But yet, this was not their home. And like I said, today people take these verses and want to go live out on a mountain somewhere and pretend that they're a Moses or they're a Noah or they're some fabulous prophet to basically make themselves feel better, to encourage themselves in being something super spiritual. But that's not what God wants us to do. Remember, he says to be in the world, but not of the world. Jesus talked about that in his prayer. He was in the world. He walked with the world. He talked with the world. But yet, he was of another world. And that's the kind of thing, that's how we spread a light to the world, is to go right out in the middle of them. Be right in the middle of them. That doesn't mean go follow all their fads and all their fashions and try to impress them. There's nothing more unimpressive to me to see some middle-aged man and his hair's dyed all colors and got all kinds of holes in his face and tattoos all over him trying to impress the young people. The young people of this world need men, and they need to be taught to be men and examples to the world, not try to get along with the teenagers, to try to impress them on their level. That's not what the world needs. The world doesn't need mothers to see how much fun that they can give to their children. The world needs fathers, mothers, men and women to be godly examples, showing them how that you can live in this world and still be of another world. That's the challenge. You know, it's so easy for us to get overbalanced one way or the other, trying to, one example, dressing so weird and so different that you just stand out like a sore thumb because you look like you just walked out of the Old Testament of the Bible. And that's not how we separate ourselves from the world. Just like everything else, we separate ourselves from the world. The world's in our hearts. The world's not on the outside. And so whenever you are filled with God, filled with the Spirit of God, and are following His ways and obeying His ways, you don't need to distinguish yourself from everyone else. You will automatically distinguish yourself from everyone else. We live in a spiritual world, a world that's run by Satan and his minions. This is his kingdom. This is his world. And we are just going through it. We're just passing through this world. Jesus' kingdom is here, but it's the outward part of that is not. We can have him dwelling and living in our hearts. We can have the taste that these people didn't have of the kingdom of God living within us. That's where the song we sang about having communion with the saints. That's the kingdom of God. You know, a lot of people think, well, that's not much. Well, you know, to have fellowship and brotherhood, that's a lot in this world. That's a major thing in this world. It's a major thing in the kingdom of God. Just to have that kinship, a home, a place where we belong and we can fit together and we can be a part of one another and join ourselves and fit ourselves, each one in our place. It's just such a blessing that's the kingdom of God. But yet, the Bible says that there is coming a physical kingdom, a place where there is no sickness, there is no death. There isn't the things that are going on around us. The Bible talks about in Isaiah, it says about Jesus in Isaiah 9, it talked about the government being upon His shoulders. You know, we live in a world where the government is controlled by the prince of this world. In Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about the spiritual rulers and wickedness in high places that are governing the cities, the communities, the states, the nations. This is that world. Sometimes we get spoiled because we have a little bit of freedom, that we don't have a government just breathing down our necks. And we kind of forget that, and we think that, well, we're our own person. We're just our own thing. But we're still in Satan's kingdom. This is still his world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. But the kingdom, the world, Satan's come along and taken over the governorship of this world. And he controls this world and puts taxes on it and does all kinds of things. And the Bible tells us just to go along with it. You know, we don't like it. We think, well, this is God's world. I don't owe them anything. Well, he says to submit to those things. Not to just become a dummy and just a puppet and just go along with everything that comes along. But don't fight it. There's no use to try to create God's kingdom right here in this old fallen world, this sin-cursed world. It's not going to happen. And it's hardly anything more futile than to fight for something all your life that there is an impossibility of happening. You know, there's people that give their whole lives to things, but then in the end, we'll see that it's all futile. It's not going to happen. And so although it looks grand, it's wasted. It's a wasted life. But the simple man or simple woman that's just carrying out their responsibilities, sometimes oppressed by bad things, bad government, bad anything around them, oppressed by them, that can not be set aside by being oppressed, but can do like these, having welcomed from a distance and confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. You know, the problem a lot of times with trying to change things so much and fight so much is that whenever something doesn't go our way, it's discouraging and depressing, and it gets us down. But when our sights and our hope is on that other kingdom, what can they do to us? What can happen? All we have to do is go through this world, go through this life, no matter what happens. All we have to do is go through it. And we know there's a God in heaven that no matter how powerful this world may appear or how it may look or how many things may be going on around us that are contrary to us, no matter how bad it may appear at sometimes, this is just one little small thing. It's like a those little globes that have the snow. You turn it up, and all the snow and all the swirling and all the things going around inside of it, well, there's still a bigger hand that's in control of all that little stuff that's going on inside. There's still a bigger hand that's in control of all of it. And that's where faith comes in. That no matter what we face, no matter who opposes us, no matter who fails us, no matter who causes us distress, that all we have to do is go through it. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. You know, a lot of times we can say that when we confess, it's just saying it. But anybody can say these things. Jesus said many will say, Lord, Lord, they'll confess with their mouth, but he said their heart is far from me. You know, it's not a matter of just saying the cliches or saying the words that we're confessing that we're strangers and pilgrims. You know, if we're on an extreme of one way or the other, we're confessing that we're not strangers and pilgrims. You know, you confess with your life. You confess with how you live, not just because we say it with our mouth. And they lived like they were strangers and pilgrims. Not that they weren't involved, that they were totally separated, and not that they were going along, but they lived through it and went through it. They worked with people. They lived with people. And they knew that people, they had understood that people would do things that would aggravate them once in a while, that they would get them all upset once in a while, that would really mess things up once in a while. but all they had to do was go through it. And it's really just so simple that this world, there is a glorious kingdom coming. You know, when you read about it, it's almost too much to fathom. The beautiful city that he talks about, and the river of life flowing through the middle of it, and the trees growing the fruit, 12 different fruits on one tree. Peace all around on the outside. Joy and love on the outside. You see, right now we can have that on the inside. But the outside part that we're living in is not there yet. We have the kingdom on the inside. We can have that love, joy, peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the meekness, the kindness in the middle of a rough world. And you know how you prepare for that place where it's good on the outside? Is live in the world that we live in, having it on the inside and being opposed on the outside. Struggle and opposition make us stronger. It makes us stronger. We don't like it. It's like exercise. We don't like it. But it's what makes us stronger. It's what makes it so that when we get into that place where there is no restrictions, there are no restrictions, there are no people that will molest us, there are no people that will bother us, there are no people that will just be against us, we can live out a life and belong there because we won't be one of those either. Because that's what he's trying to do here with us. He's trying to make us that person that when we were put in a perfect place, we would just fit right in. But if we try to take some of that with us, that stuff that's in the world, all of that stuff that causes people anxiety and trouble, and we can't have that there. We've got to get rid of it here. Now's the time to look at it, to see it, and to get rid of it so we can go to that place where there is none of that. I mean, if we were in heaven and we had all of those things or had somebody there that was doing all those things that we hate, it wouldn't be a perfect place, would it? It wouldn't be. We are preparing ourselves to belong in that place. And that's what the kingdom of God has been established. It's been brought to us. It's the promises that it's available to us today. Those promises are available to us. They didn't have them. They looked forward to them. Their only hope was to, when they died, they were going to Hades to be in Abraham's bosom. But they saw past that promise that one day these things could be realized. What a blessing to have. They were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. There's a lot of things going on in the world, and it's probably going to get worse. A lot of bad things. This is because the governor of this world, the king, prince of this world, is in control of it. We're looking for a place and a city that Jesus is the king of the world. Jesus is the ruler. And everything will be ran on righteousness and goodness and mercy, proper judgment, common sense, if you will, rightly. And when we're trying to expect all those things down here out of Satan, I mean, we're trying to expect all of these things out of Satan, his demons in his kingdom, and we're expecting all those things here. Once in a while, God restrains him, and a few lights shine through, a few good things shine through. This is not Christ's world. The world that we live in and are part of and are going through, walking and talking and working and living in, is a stranger's place. May God help us to keep our minds and our hearts focused on the better kingdom that Jesus has promised. I looked and I beheld a city coming down out of heaven. The beautiful things that the Bible talks about when Jesus will be the king. He can be the king of our lives, but he's the king of our lives behind enemy lines. We've got to remember that. Allow him to be the king right where you're at. Like I said, you can go extreme either way. You can just go try to look like the world and act like them and do everything. Or you can just go hide away and isolate yourself from it. Or you can do as these brethren that went on before, walked right through it. Now we have Christ as our King, and his kingdom can be living in our hearts as we walk through this world. God add his blessings.
This morning we were supposed to bring something that we appreciate of nature that God has made. And something that I appreciate is that even though this world has gone on a not very good path, and people are getting more liberal and trying to they're getting to believe in God less and less, there's still places that you can go and not see a trace of man. You can still go out into the woods and see nature and appreciate it.
I thought about how the wild animals, they aren't running around anxiously, but they go out each day and get whatever food they need, and towards the end of the year they get a little bit more stored up and make dens, and that inspires me to live one moment at a time and still do what I need to do, but not be anxious about what might or may happen.
One thing I thought about was on Friday we had to pick berries for the market on Saturday, but we got up in the morning and it was raining really bad and really hard, and we thought it was going to be raining all day, and Dad said, "Well, you're just going to have to try to pick in any break you get in the rain, just pick between the rains." And I thought, this is really not going to be fun. But as soon as we got done with breakfast, pretty much it stopped raining. And we were real thankful for that. So we went outside and started to pick, but I was still kind of down because the plants were all wet, and you get all wet whenever you pick. But then the sun came out and dried everything up. And also, just like yesterday when we were at the market, we thought it might rain, but it didn't rain until as soon as we got done with the market, it just came down pouring. And when I was thinking we shouldn't be so concerned about what will happen, because God will work things out the way he wants us to. So
the wisdom of God is when the animals get their thick coats for the winter.
One thing that just has always proved to me that there is a God is that just the thought about how God actually was able to create life out of, you know, something that wasn't alive, that a chain reaction like that, that can start and duplicate itself and never reaches a dead end, just keeps multiplying and then has to be governed by its surrounding, you know, things. That's too ununderstandable. And just the interesting, I always like to think about it how I don't look at it like some kind of like magical thing out there that God's able to just like, I like to think of it like he actually understands it enough to be able to make it.
When we went out to the Grand Canyon, it was really interesting how it's just this huge canyon. It looks kind of forbidden at first, but when you look really close, you can see there's life all over it.
Morning, everybody. We have Scotland in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We just want to thank you for all your many blessings to us. Thank you for keeping us safe. We ask that you continue to bless and keep us and those around the world. We ask that you be with ones that are traveling this morning. Keep them in your mercy. And any other prayer requests that were mentioned or thought of around the world, just in your prayer, amen. This morning I was kind of thinking kind of a couple different ideas, but let's see if I can incorporate them together. But 1 John, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. And I was just kind of thinking about that this morning. God and his mercies to us. It's kind of another thought. Thinking how merciful God is to us to allow us to serve him. To allow us to see that we can serve him. You know, Uncle David said many times that just the mercies of God, that we were born right here, that we're raised right here, that we've been shown the things we've shown. It's just amazing to me to think, you know, why me, like, or why us, you know, why me mainly, but I haven't done anything to deserve that, and it's just an amazing thing to me that God in his mercy has allowed that. And I was reading in Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. So I just was thinking, you know, like they talked about last week or the week before or something, you know, us young people, we've been shown a life that most young people don't even have, because our parents have went through many trials and tribulations to get us to this point. Amen. And how thankful we should be as children or the younger generation of the church here to carry on that torch or that light. And it's a big responsibility for us, and I just want to encourage us, I guess, to just keep on and be thankful and don't take it for granted. That's a big thing there. We get busy with the cares of this world, and we take things for granted, I think, too easy. I do myself very, very much, but just, you know, be thankful, don't take it for granted, and that God in his mercy has allowed us to be where we are and who we are to do his will. So that's all I had. Thank you.